being with us. Russ, our usual preacher, is out goofing off visiting his grandkids. But I believe that they are returning later today, if I recall. Anybody know if that's true? That's what he had planned to do, at least. Okay, well, there's a very important story that anybody in the church needs to hear that was shared with me whenever I was growing up. And so I need to make sure, most of you have already heard it if you've been in the church for a while, but my duty to pass it along to the younger group. And that is that in a farming community, there was a small church. And one day a preacher showed up, and the only member there was this old farmer. And he said, "Well, there's just the two of us here. Should we go ahead with the service anyway?" And the old farmer said, "When I go out to feed my cows, if there's just one cow there, I feed it anyway." So they went ahead and had their worship service, and the preacher preached an hour-long sermon. And so at the end of the sermon, the farmer says, "You know, preacher, when I go out to feed my cows and there's only one cow there, I don't throw out the whole bale for it." So I felt like that piece of wisdom should be shared with everybody in case we have some aspiring preachers out in the crowd. You know, it's something that you need to remember, that the length of the sermon should be proportional to the number of people that are listening. So I'd say I got about 20 minutes if each person gets about 30 seconds. So if you've looked at the bulletin, it's time for some trash talk. We'll start the trash talk today. Trash is just kind of the thing you take for granted. We moved out into the country because we wanted to get away from the crowds and the noise of big cities and live out where it's nice and quiet and peaceful. And one of the first things we discovered as we got to talking to neighbors was they said, "There's no trash service out here. You just have to bag up your trash and take it to the Prince George County dump yourself." So we did that for the first few weeks, and we had just kind of taken for granted trash service our whole lives. And so it was wonderful a few weeks later when a company decided to offer trash service out where we were. And we were never more happy to fork over some money to let somebody take over that job from us. As Americans, we generate a lot of trash. The average American generates 4.5 pounds of trash a day. That's 126 pounds a week for a family of four. And if you've taken the trash out to the curb, that probably sounds just about right. So, American waste management companies, they manage about 250 million tons of household garbage every year. And it's more than twice that if you include the industrial waste, about 545 million tons every year. And that number is so large, it's kind of meaningless to us. So to put it into perspective, that's about 2,300 aircraft carriers worth of trash that we generate every year. And that's as Americans. That's not in the world. If we loaded it all into garbage trucks, it would reach from New York to Los Angeles 100 times. So, a lot of trash. Now, we recycle about a third of that now. It's not quite as bad as it used to be. But the real question that I want to pose to you today is, what's the worth of that trash? Trash is something that we throw away. We don't really think about that there may be value in trash. One way to look at it is that waste management earned about $4.8 billion last year taking care of our garbage. They're one of the big trash companies in the U.S. It's a gold mine as far as they're concerned. You know, there's money in that trash. So that's one way to look at it. But also, sometimes individuals find valuable things in the trash. I grew up out in the country, and so there was no trash service. We had to take our trash to the dump. Now, one thing you city folk may not realize is that whenever you go to the dump, when you live out in the country and you're poor folk, you don't just go there to dump. You go there to look around. Because you never know what somebody's going to throw away. Because sometimes there's valuable stuff there. That's how I got my Millard Fillmore action figure. It's not often everybody has a Millard Fillmore action figure, the 13th President of the United States. So, I found that there. But some people have actually found some important things in the garbage. A Kentucky man named Mike Rogers, he worked in a recycling center, and he found $22,000 worth of savings bonds that came in there one time. Now, unlike many of us, he hunted down and returned them to their rightful owner instead of just keeping them like many of us would have done. There was a lady named Elizabeth Gibson in 2003. She found a piece of abstract art that was crammed out between two trash bins out by the road. She made an effort to hunt down the owners to see if she could have it, but she couldn't really find the owners, so she kept them. And somebody later was looking at the painting and said, you know, I've heard of that artist. And she did some research, and she found a book that was about paintings by that artist, and her painting was the one on the cover. And so she took it to have it appraised and discovered it was worth about $1 million. It had been stolen 20 years earlier. And they're not real sure what happened to it during that intervening time, but she got a reward of about $15,000 for returning it to the rightful place. So, Edward St. John found a $1 million lottery ticket one time in the trash in 2005. You may have heard about that. This one wasn't technically in the trash, but a Pennsylvania man, he bought a painting for $4 at a flea market because he wanted the frame. And so he tried to refinish the frame, and he just never could make it look good. And he took the picture that was out of it, and behind the picture, he found one of the 24 known originals of the Declaration of Independence. It sold for $2.42 million. So, there's money to be had in the trash, but most of the time, there's just trash. So, if you go to the dump, and you go perusing around through there, you're probably just going to find trash. So I'll go ahead and warn you. Not everybody's lucky enough to find a lottery ticket worth $1 million or even a Millard Fillmore action figure. So, today in our lives, there's lots of garbage. There's things that we don't like. There's things that ruin our days. There's traffic problems. You know how in the big bustling cities of Petersburg and Colonial Heights you have these terrible traffic jams and everything. Maybe not so much there, but you go to D.C. and you can get tied up in traffic for a long time, and it can ruin your day. The latest thing is computer problems. You know, computers are something we did without most of our lives, and now then it just annoys us to no end when we have a computer problem. When our computer's messed up, our life just ends. It's like we've got to either get this fixed or go out and get another computer because I can't live without a computer now. So those create problems. You know, sometimes things come up and we have to delay our vacations. You know, it's just something else. But sometimes you get a big pile of garbage all at once. Sometimes it feels like a dumpster dumped on you in your lifetime. And you've all had times like that. You get health problems. Then you get the big medical bills because of the health problems. You get the divorce papers. You get a pay cut, an unexpected pregnancy. Your best friend betrays you. Sometimes you get the big dumpsters full of trash that all dumps down, and sometimes it's all at the same time. You get the big crashing down around you, and you just feel like your life is over. You know, sometimes we cause our own problems. Sometimes we do things that bring on our own problems. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes life is just life, and life's not fair, and things happen to us. We can be sitting in traffic, and somebody comes crashing into you, and you didn't do anything to cause it, but it just happened, and you have to live with the results. So why does it happen to us? Is it because you haven't been a faithful enough Christian? Sometimes we kind of blame it on that. We think God's trying to punish me, but sometimes bad things just happen. You know, even Jesus had his share of garbage in his life. It wasn't his fault, and it certainly wasn't because he wasn't being faithful. But even he could have a bad day. And in particular, I'm going to bring to your attention one very bad day that he had. First off, he started it by praying. Now, he didn't get what he prayed for because the night before he was crucified, he prayed that if there's any way possible, that God would have him not do things the way that were planned. He said, if there's any way, any other way, let's do it that way. Because he knew what was coming up. This wasn't just a simple prayer. You know, God, last chance, if you can think of a different way, you know, let's do it. I mean, Matthew says he was very sad, that he was troubled. He fell to the ground and cried out to God. Luke said he was full of pain, that his sweat dripped like drops of blood. This is probably the most urgent prayer ever given here on this earth. And yet, God said no. He said, this is what you need to do. So his best friends abandoned him whenever he wanted their support. He says, you know, stay with me here while I pray, and they kept falling asleep on him, so he didn't have their support. One of his followers betrayed him and brought the Jews to arrest him. This wasn't just a couple of Jews. The Greek word there indicates about 200 people came up there, at a minimum 200, came up to arrest him. All of his other friends ran away, left him there alone, even though earlier in that same evening they all pledged their loyalty to him. You know, if everybody else deserts you, I won't desert you. And they all said that. We remember Peter promising it, but in that verse it says they all said that. And they all ran away whenever Jesus could have used a friend, a companion, some support there. They all ran away. And the bad thing is there was no uncertainty for him about what was going to happen. If we're placed on trial today, I think, okay, maybe I'll be convicted, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be acquitted. If I am convicted, maybe I'll get a suspended sentence or something. Jesus already knew the outcome. In fact, he had to help bring it about. When they couldn't prove their case against him, he's the one that had to give them their case so that they could convict him and so that he could be executed. So he knew exactly what was going to happen, and he knew that it had to happen that way. So he got the brutal beating within an inch of his life, and then an excruciating execution after that. And he was alone, no help from the Jews that he came there to save, no help from his friends, not even from God the Father. God the Father even had to turn his back on his suffering during that time of the darkness on the cross. That's a bad day. That's a guy with a lot of garbage in his life during that time. So, if we need to know how to handle the garbage in our lives, maybe we can look and see what the guy who had the most garbage in his life did. So, what I'd like to talk about is finding the treasure there in the trash. You know, sometimes you can find that treasure buried in the trash. So let's talk about what he did. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 that was read earlier, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" In the NIV, it doesn't read all that clearly, but essentially it says if you open your eyes, you'll see the light. Otherwise, you're just going to have darkness. One version even says if you're all squinty-eyed, I like that word there for a Bible text, a squinty-eyed. But it says that if you close your eyes, you're just going to see darkness. If you open your eyes, you can see the light. And so that's what Jesus did. He opened his eyes to the good, starting with Judas. You know, Judas betrayed him. But how did Jesus refer to him? In Matthew 26:50, he starts off with, "Friend, do what you came for." So, what did Jesus see in Judas that we didn't see, that he could call him friend? You know, we already knew that Judas was a thief. We were told that. We knew that Judas betrayed him. But Jesus knew who the real enemy was. It wasn't Judas. Judas was just living out his portion of the drama that had to unfold. Jesus knew the real enemy was Satan. That doesn't mean Judas wasn't accountable for his actions, because he had free will to pick and choose. But still, Satan was the power behind it. And Jesus knew that's where the real threat was. That's the source of all the pain. All the garbage that came crashing down on him was because of Satan. So, you know, what about his unanswered prayer that he had? He already knew that if there was another way, that God would pick the other way. So he trusted God. He said, "God, if there's any other way, let's do it another way. I'd really rather not be beaten with an inch of my life. I'd really rather not have nails driven through my flesh here. But if there's not another way, your will be done." So that's what he did. He accepted the fact that this is God's will. That he says, "I trust you that if there was another way, we'd do it another way." He said, there's not another way. So he was willing to trust God, and that's what we can do in our lives as well. I mean, how many times in your life has something bad happened? You looked at it and you said, "This is a terrible event," and then later on you realized that there was some benefit to it, that it helped you in some way. We don't always know God's plan for our life. But we just know that God has a plan. And that things are happening because God has a plan. So when we see bad things happen to us, we can know God's still in control, that these are happening for a reason. And we've had many things in our lives that we didn't like something when it was happening. And then later on, we said, you know, things actually worked out okay in spite of that. But even though God let bad things happen to us, he let bad things happen to us for a reason. And later on, we could see the reason. Sometimes we don't see the reason. And sometimes we just have to trust God. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So that's God's plan. God loves us. He cares about us. He takes care of us. Whether we realize it or not, he's taking care of us. Sometimes, even when the garbage is landing all around us, he's still taking care of us. Sometimes in spite of the garbage, sometimes the garbage has a purpose that's in our life that we may or may not realize. Romans 8:35-37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For it's written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We're considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us." You know, we would have liked for that to have read, "apart from these things" or "without these things." But Paul wrote, "in all these things." All these bad things that happen to us, that we're considered sheep to be slaughtered, trouble and hardship, and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword. All these things, he doesn't say, "I'm going to protect you from all these things." Not what the verse says. He just says, "in all these things, we're more than conquerors." We can still make it. We can conquer the world. We can conquer Satan. We can be victorious in all these things. Not without all these things, or all these things would happen to you if you weren't a Christian, but when these things happen to you, we still have victory in Jesus. That's what He's trying to teach us. Because we're always going to have garbage in our lives. That's not going to go away. Some people like to think, well, if I become a Christian, then God's going to help me and He's going to protect me and nothing bad's ever going to happen to me again. That's not His promise. In fact, sometimes bad things happen to people because they're Christians. So He doesn't say that I'm going to protect you from all these things and keep them from happening. He says I'm going to be with you when they happen. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make sure that the things happen for a reason and that you're a better person because of what happened to you. Maybe you'll be better able to help somebody else who's having a similar problem later on because you've been through it. Well, sometimes we create our own garbage. And sometimes the garbage just happens to us. But if we remember that Satan's the one behind the garbage, it's not God throwing the garbage at us. We read that God doesn't test people, but Satan does. And he's going to throw some garbage at you. Either through things of your own doing or somebody else's doing or just things that happen. You know, a hurricane is nobody's fault, but it's going to come through every now and then. So, if we remember that Satan is the reason why bad things happen to us, it makes it a little bit easier to deal with. It may not be that person's fault who yelled at you, who cut you off in traffic, who took the job that you wanted to have, who added to the garbage in your life. Satan's the one that's behind it. He's testing you. And he wants to push you, and he wants to make you lose your trust in God, to lose your faith in God. So he's going to keep putting the garbage in front of you. But the nice thing is that we have a treasure in that trash. We've got something even better than a $1 million painting that's in the trash because we've got victory in the way that it matters most. We may not be rich in this life. We may not have fame and fortune, but we've got victory. We've got victory over sin, victory over death, because of Jesus. And by staying faithful in spite of all the garbage in our lives, and by seeing God's plan for us, we can be victorious over this life. We can live a life, if not free of the garbage, at least in spite of the garbage. We can live a life. Some of the happiest people that we've seen have been people whose lives were full of garbage. Yet somehow they were still happy, still optimistic, in spite of medical problems, any bad thing you can think of. Sometimes they would keep their chin up, they'd still be happy, they'd still be faithful, because they knew happiness didn't depend on what their life was like. It depended on who they knew. I'd like to offer an invitation this morning. You've got some garbage going on in your life. You've got an opportunity to come up, receive the prayers of the church, and have people help guide you through the garbage. The people that have already gone through that same garbage. Because this is the reason, perhaps, why you went through it, is to help this person who needs help today. So if you need the prayers of the church and the help in getting through the bad things happening in your life, there's an opportunity for you to do that this morning. There's also an opportunity. You've got garbage in your life and you've got no help. If you don't have Jesus to give you that victory over the garbage, then you've just got more garbage waiting when your life is over. It doesn't get any better. That hope is what makes life worthwhile, the hope of a better future without the pain, without the medical bills, without the issues that gives us pain in this life, whether it's physical pain or spiritual pain, emotional pain. We have hope that all those things will be gone one day. if we've placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, you've got an opportunity this morning to start a new life, to be born again and start fresh. It's not going to clear all the garbage out of your life, but it will give you the strength to take care of it. So whatever your need is, I encourage you to come forward to stand and sing.